Hello, everyone. Welcome to Talking Logistics, where we have conversations with thought leaders and newsmakers in the supply chain logistics industry. It's my pleasure to welcome today's program Danielle Shuey, who's Vice President of Service Delivery at LoadSmart. And today we're going to discuss choosing a career in logistics. So I've been interviewing logistics professionals and executives for more than 11 years here on Talking Logistics, and for more than 25 years as an industry analyst. And there's a common thread among these professionals. They almost all fell into this industry. That is, they didn't, study logistics or supply chain in college, or they didn't start their careers in the field, but they eventually landed in this industry, fell in love with it, and have never looked back. So why choose a career in logistics? Well, the best way to answer that question is by asking professionals who are on the front lines of logistics today. So it's my pleasure to welcome Danielle to the program today to share her story and experience in the logistics industry. So Danielle, welcome to the program.
Thanks so much, Adrian. It's great to be here and definitely excited to share a little bit about my experience and what's so great about this industry that we all happen to fall into.
Yeah, that's great. So that's going to be my first question. I mean, let's start really at the very beginning. How and why did you get involved in logistics and the transportation industry? I mean, is this something that you always dreamed of doing, or did you happen to fall into the industry like so many others, including me?
Yeah, definitely fell into it. I have to say that prior to starting my career in the industry, I don't think that I had an appreciation or even an awareness for everything that goes into making goods move around the world behind the scenes. So, had no knowledge of logistics, maybe limited knowledge of supply chain, and actually went to school and studied sociology and political science, where I graduated from Clemson University in 2009. And you may remember those were some challenging years, economically speaking. So, one of the last major economic recessions. And first of all, I didn't know what I wanted to do. I also didn't really have a lot of options in terms of new career paths because the, job availability at that time was pretty limited. And so, I was up against people with 10 years of career experience and double master's degrees and things to that effect. But I spent the time working at a number of different restaurants. I had a brief stint working as a nanny for some adorable twin toddlers. And then ultimately, I got connected with a contract work agency where my first assignment was a one-day temp assignment at C.H. Robinson, where they needed some help with data entry, actually. I think it was NMFC and class information for one of their LTL shippers that just needed to be entered into an Excel spreadsheet. So I spent the day working through that list and, fortuitously, I knew somebody that worked there who was asking, are you interested in something longer term? Of course, I said yes. And, that's really where my story started. So it's kind of hard to believe. I've now been in the industry for going on 14 years and there have been a lot of ups and downs and moves around, but definitely think I'm a perfect example of falling into the industry, like you said, as so many of us often do. But once I learned about all that there is in terms of opportunity, it's such a diverse industry. I've had the benefit of working in domestic truckload and LTL transportation. I've worked for global forwarding companies. I've worked in managed transportation as I do now. And I've even had a chance to spend some time working abroad, which maybe I'll tell you a little bit more about later. But ultimately, it's just, such a diverse industry with many opportunities, whether it's operations and account management and working for a shipper or a third-party logistics provider. So I've just had a never-ending list of opportunities that have opened up, and I'm just so grateful that, I took the chance on that one-day temp assignment almost 14 years ago.
Wow, that's a great origin story, if you will, with regards to your start in logistics. And I think you're not alone, right? I mean, I think in terms of myself, I mean, I never knew this industry existed when I was in high school or college, and even when I started my career in new product development and manufacturing. Even though technically manufacturing is part of the broader supply chain, I really didn't perceive it that way or understand its role and kind of everything that went before it and after it. So I think that's certainly, I think that's the only good thing that one of the few things that came out of the pandemic was that I think the broader society got a much deeper appreciation for
Absolutely.
the role of supply chain logistics in our everyday lives.
I always joke about that because for the longest time, my friends and family, I would try to explain what I did for a living, and they nodded politely, but I don't think they fully appreciated what I did. And then, over COVID, you couldn't get toilet paper at the store, and suddenly there's this awareness that this stuff doesn't just show up without a lot of work and coordination taking place on a global level behind the scenes. So that was kind of a rewarding moment, I would say, in my career journey, is just even though those were really difficult times, the general public became much more tuned in to this really complex web of networks that have to continue moving in order for people to enjoy their everyday lives and be able to get the goods that they want from their stores, whether it be online or in person.
Yep, absolutely, right. So getting the phone calls. Hey, Danielle, can you help us get toilet paper, please? Anything you can do at your
All
end?
right,
So,
it's not that easy.
sociology degree, right? You were a nanny for twins who are now probably what is it, 14 years older already, but it's
Driving right now.
hard to believe, yes. And then ultimately, you find yourself at your current role there as, vice president of service delivery at LoadSmart. What does that role entail?
It's been a really wonderful experience at LoadSmart. I joined the company last April, so I'm going on a year and a half at this point. And the service delivery role is supporting our managed transportation business unit, which is essentially a startup business unit within a growth stage organization. So managed transportation is a newer service offering over at LoadSmart. And with that, I'd say there's really like two core components to my role. There's the internal focus and the external focus. Internally, I'm helping to streamline processes, make sure that we've got the right infrastructure in place that's going to allow our fast-growing department to continue to scale. I'm providing, feedback and insights to our finance and products team on, where we need to continue to invest in terms of technology and just other capabilities that we need to either strengthen or develop in order to service a wider range of customers. And then externally speaking, I am deeply involved with all of the customers that are part of our service offering. So I work with them sort of as an executive sponsor, where I ensure that all of the customer-facing teams are working well, that we've got the right operating routines in place of meeting with the customer to identify continuous improvement opportunities. We're of course facilitating quarterly business reviews and helping to support our customers as much as possible with longer term strategic planning as well. And I have to say, that's been one of the most fun parts of the job, but also the most challenging, because I think anyone that's in the industry and has been both over the past 5 years or so, but also prior to COVID, knows that we've been in a very uncertain market and things are always possible to change on a dime, and they often do. And so I like to joke that I threw my crystal ball away a long time ago, but it's still important that we find ways to connect with our customers and help them to plan as much as possible, even in spite of all of these unknowns. So whether that be, reporting routines that we put into place or the way that we structure our carrier performance and rate review processes, there's still a lot of opportunity to, control as much as you can control, knowing that there is still a lot that remains, questionable and out of control as it relates to the market.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, they continue. I think there's certain truths that I've always surrounded the transportation market. Number one is that, it's cyclical, right? So it's always going to go up and down, and we already saw that, during COVID, and now the past, kind of couple of years. And then there's, people are now trying to forecast, when it's going to turn up again and how quickly and so forth. But the reality is, as you said, it's hard to predict, the future. But we talk a lot in this industry about the importance of being agile and responsive and so forth. And that's, more true than ever today, and when it comes to transportation management, because you really have to be able to respond as quickly as effectively as possible with whatever happens down the road, which can happen, which can change on a dime, like you said. There could be a ship that crashes into a bridge. Or what happened in the Panama Canal, last year or the year before, I forget exactly when it was, right? Or there could be a weather event, whether it's a hurricane or a tornado, something like that, snowstorm. So all these things are constantly making your job and much more difficult than those on the front lines of this to try to, again, manage the operations of your customers as efficiently and as successfully as possible. Now, you mentioned earlier that you also worked overseas, and I know you had the opportunity to work in China and in the Asia Pacific market. How was that experience, and what unique challenges and opportunities, you know, did that provide?
Yeah, my time in China was life-changing. I am happy to talk about it for as long as anyone will willingly listen, but just took a chance. I was at C.H. Robinson working for their TMC division at the time, and I had an opportunity to move abroad for a two-year assignment as the senior operations leader. And the role was somewhat ambiguous by design, but ultimately the goal was, you know, they had a number of customers that were expanding their footprint in the Asia Pacific region. They wanted to expand transportation management services, and we wanted to ensure that we had continuity of process and capabilities globally, and, you know, translating some of that experience and product knowledge from the US, having someone with boots on the ground just made a huge impact in our ability to do that quickly and efficiently. So it was a great opportunity career-wise. I would say that, you know, I was overwhelmed by the graciousness of my Chinese colleagues. And in fact, you know, we were supporting the Asia Pacific region. So I also had colleagues that I worked with closely in India as well as Taiwan. And I learned so much about the world. I learned so much about myself. I certainly don't think that I would be where I am now if it weren't for this decision that I made back in 2017. So, couldn't be more grateful to TMC for allowing me that opportunity. And, you know, at the same time, it was incredibly challenging. I have now a newfound respect for folks that move to a country that's not their home country. Navigating the culture, the language differences. I did learn a little Chinese while I was there, but never enough to be fully effective. And then just from a technical standpoint, there is so much nuance in all of these global transportation markets. With China in particular, things as not small, but that you wouldn't have expected, such as, you know, they have different truck sizes, different standards related to over the road transportation. Their address infrastructure, like the way that they structure their address information, is different. And so when you think about things like data integration and platform interface, like you have to be able to account for that level of nuance. And this is just one country. We were talking about, you know, the broader Asia Pacific region, and that's of course just one region out of the globe. And so I learned a lot about that technical nuance that is different within China, as well as some of the other countries where we had operations, but I only scratched the surface, and there's so much more to be learned out there. But the biggest learning was probably just that, you know, having an awareness of this amount of difference. So if you're based in the US and managing a global company and trying to develop a global strategy for your transportation management, it's so important to think in terms of change management, to expect that there are going to be these technical differences that need to be accounted for. And as you're going through the implementation process, like making sure that you're bringing the right representation from those countries to the table so that you can build a strategy that's actually possible to be executed on a global level. So a lot that I learned there, and the same can be applied even with, you know, US-based companies, just having this awareness that you really need to get that in-depth knowledge of how operations are taking place at the ground level in order to build a strategy that's going to be capable of success, right? And that's something that I've carried with me into every role that I've been into since. And I hope to continue to think in terms of that as I take on more roles in the future.
Yeah, not that, that's a some great you know, learnings there. And I think it's always, you know, critically important for and it really begins for some folks, you know, at college when you go and study abroad, right? I mean, you can learn about things by reading books and watching movies and so forth. But I mean, there's no better learning than actually seeing things with your own eyes, walking through things with your, you know, with your own legs and meeting people and having conversations with them. I mean, that's truly how you learn about not only the things that unite us and are common, but also what the differences are, right? Because I think a lot of times we assume that the way things operate here in the United States across many levels is the way things are In other parts of the world, but cultural norms are different, expectations are different, and things like truck sizes and addresses are all differences when it comes to the supply chain logistics. And certainly, I think for particularly in China, plays such a critical role in across so many different supply chains. And of course, it's in the news today because of the tariffs and the geopolitical tensions and things like that. But I think the fact that you were able to go there and kind of understand more intimately, have firsthand knowledge and experience about how things operate there and meet the people and so forth, again, just gives you and logistics executive, whether it's China, India, Vietnam, wherever your supply chains take you, I think you have to really see with your own eyes and walk through those operations with your own feet to truly understand what happens there. So I think for my advice always for young professionals is if to do exactly what you did. If you're offered an opportunity to work overseas and you're able to do it, it's a wonderful learning experience. I'm going to shift gears a little bit here now and talk about the topic that I think it's getting more focus on today, and I think for the right reasons, obviously. And that's that, historically, women have been underrepresented, in this industry, especially in leadership positions. That said, I know from my perspective, at least, that I certainly see more women in the industry today than I did 25 years ago, when I first started. I mean, what's your perspective on where the industry is today, and what can be done to attract, more women to supply chain logistics careers?
Yeah, it's a great question and a topic that I'm very passionate about. I'm very happy to see that with time, as you said, there has been better representation, not just of women, but other underrepresented groups as well. And I think that's important because the world is becoming increasingly diverse. And with that, you need to be able to connect with all parties at customers, at suppliers, to interact globally. And I think that just requires having diverse representation within your own leadership. So not only do I think it's the right thing to do, and I think that women bring a lot of strengths to the table in the world of logistics, but I think it's strategically important for companies to ensure that they have good representation, again, not just of women, but other underrepresented groups as well. And I think that there's a few ways that you can achieve that. One of them is just by making that a priority. So there was a saying I heard earlier on when I was just getting started in my career that when young women are looking at potential companies or industries, they're going to look up at your leadership ranks. And if they don't see themselves reflected in the leadership path, they may or may not feel like it's going to be a place where they're embraced and that they're really given every opportunity to succeed. So making sure that you've got that representation within your own leadership is probably first and foremost very important. And certainly investing in those individuals. So even if they're just getting started in their career, making sure that you are making a point of mentoring and sponsoring young women and other underrepresented groups so that they are not only given the opportunity, but they're given that additional coaching that's going to help them to continue to optimize their career. And then I would also say, from a benefits perspective, I can't tell you how many young women I've spoken to who have said, I really want to continue focusing on my career, but I also want to have a family. And there's still this perception in a fast-paced, stressful industry such as supply chain and logistics that it may be difficult to have both. And I wouldn't undermine that. I'm sure that there are difficulties. I'm personally not a parent at this time in my life, but there are ways that companies can make this less of a divisive choice to be made, right? And that's through their parental care policies, such as parental leave. I was really appreciative to learn that Loadsmart has 4 months of paid leave for primary caregivers and 4 weeks of paid leave for secondary caregivers, which I think is a very generous policy. But it doesn't even end there. So going above and beyond to ensure that you have these values instilled within your culture to support working parents and to ensure that there's, flexible working arrangements whenever they're needed. And this extends beyond parenthood as well. But all of these factors really play a role in helping women in particular to feel welcome and supported, and like they have the opportunity to continue investing in their career while also making their family life a priority.
Yeah, those are all great, great points. And I particularly liked your first point. I mean, all three were important, but the first one, because I think, I know doing some interviews with young professionals and just reading some of the research that's been done with kind of the Gen Z and certainly millennials, although millennials are getting older now, they're on the older side of things. But even with Gen Z, I mean, a lot of the feedback that a lot of employers are getting is that they want to see how they can progress within the company, right? What are the different steps? They want to know up front, okay, what do I need to do to get to the next level, get to the next level, get to the next level? And to your point, I mean, if a young woman enters a field and they're looking up and say, okay, I'm looking at the leadership and there's no one that looks like me in that leadership, where does my career path then end, right? And if they don't see a path where they can, if they continue to perform well and they meet objectives and so forth, if they don't see that they're able to get as high as they would like to go, then that might be a turnoff to going into that industry. But a lot of great points there. Maybe as a just a couple more questions in the time that we have left. I mean, and it sounds like you've had so much different experiences both there at, during your time at Loadsmart and before that. I mean, what have been the most rewarding parts of your career in logistics and transportation so far?
Yeah, there've been many. I'm very grateful to having landed in this industry because it's just been profoundly transformative end to end from the beginning of my career until now. Certainly my time in China, can't say it enough how grateful I am for that opportunity, but also I would say getting into people leadership. So as a sociology major and just a person who cares about other people, there's something incredibly rewarding about helping to support the members of a team in navigating their career journey and the stresses that come with showing up to work day in and day out. And I would say this is especially true during difficult periods in time, such as over COVID. I got very close with all of my direct reports, and some of that extended beyond the professional realm that we shared, just helping to be there for other people and supporting them through this journey that we call life, and specifically the career in logistics has been really meaningful for me. I would say in addition to that, we've got people management, we've got my time in China, of course, our customers. I have to say that's the last really important area of focus that has brought me a lot of joy, and really approaching customer relationships from a place of this being a partnership. And it really only makes sense to find win-win solutions when you're working with your customer base. And with that, this is a really difficult industry at times. You mentioned before these uncontrollable circumstances, such as the Suez Canal, where suddenly you're faced with impossible operations where, you're used to having solutions and it feels like you no longer do. But things can get a bit tense and challenging as you're working through those issues with your customers. But one of the most rewarding feelings is when you've been able to emerge successfully on the other side, and you're able to look back and see how far you've come and building trust by just getting into the trenches side by side with your customer and your team and tackling whatever problems are sitting ahead of you.
Yeah, great points. And I think, this is an industry where success or failure is very tangible, right? Because you can see those KPIs, those metrics, and there's no stronger voice of whether you're succeeding than your customers, right? If your customers are happy and you're helping them achieve their objectives, and particularly when problems arise. And again, it's truly a win-win relationship where they understand that you're bringing the resources to bear to help them navigate through these challenges. And I think it's during those times when you help customers succeed despite these challenges, that's the most gratifying to folks that are in this industry. And the people aspect, we talk a lot about this being a people business, a relationship business. And mm-hmm. so I think it's interesting, being able to leverage your sociology background and into that whole role. And I think that points to another thing, because I think there's a perception out there that and I certainly have had this perception that as this industry has gotten more technology centered, mm-hmm. right, that you need to be someone with data analytics background or an engineer, a problem solver, someone that has that kind of background to succeed in this industry. But I think you bring another perspective to that, that yes, those things are important, and for particularly for certain roles within the industry, but that does not necessarily mean success in this industry, number one. Number two, that is not the only path into the logistics industry. Someone with your background and your experience coming in can succeed. Obviously, you're now, you know, an executive leader there at LoadSmart, and you're not an engineer. You're not a, you know, you don't have a mathematics degree, right? So I think that's a, you know, the enlightening as well. Well, Danielle, I mean, maybe as a way to wrap up, I mean, what advice would you give to someone starting out in the industry, you know, aiming, in particular, those someone that's aiming to reach a leadership position?
Yeah, there's probably two key pieces of advice. The first, you kind of hinted towards this earlier, it's saying yes to opportunities. And that doesn't always mean saying yes to moving halfway across the world to China, but, you know, really leaning in and being open to taking on, you know, special projects or challenging yourself to apply for new roles. That's been one of the biggest things that I've done throughout my career that's ultimately helped me to get to where I am. Just, you know, saying yes to going to work on site at a customer location, and then saying yes to relocating from South Carolina to Chicago, and then ultimately saying yes to move abroad to China back in 2017. So certainly if you say yes, the opportunities are going to continue to unfold for you. And it's not always possible. I don't want to pretend like, you know, there aren't other considerations, and it doesn't always require moving, I promise. But being open in that way will certainly lead to good things in your career. And then the second thing I always tell young folks that are especially interested in leadership roles is to just start showing up as a leader every day. It's not like you get a manager title and then you become a leader. You often get the manager title because you are a leader. And so if you just come in with the mindset of, you know, I'm going to lead my team, I'm going to be best in class, I'm going to motivate my peers, I'm going to organize amongst my peers, and where I see opportunities to collaborate and to help the company and customer move forward, I'm going to take the initiative and be that cheerleader that is pushing everyone forward. That also will just have a tremendous impact on your ability when the time comes for a manager role or a promotion. You're already going to be perceived as the person who's, you know, stood out in that regard. And so it makes it a lot easier to make those upward moves as well.
Well, some great advice there, Danielle. And I tell you, I'm going to, you know, I've got four kids. You know, my three oldest kids, two of them have graduated, and one is just started his sophomore year at University of Maryland. And those three are engineers, following their dad's footsteps. But I've got my youngest daughter, who's a rising junior in high school. And she's just at that stage now where she's got to be thinking about, you know, what colleges to apply to, what she may want to study, and so forth. So I'm gonna ask her to watch this episode so that she can at least consider and think about maybe following a career in logistics. And even if I have to bribe her with some ice cream or something to watch the episode, but no, this has been a great conversation. I really appreciate you sharing your story and your experience and your advice with us. And again, hopefully we'll have the opportunity to have you on the program again at some point down the road.
Yeah, I would love that. Thanks again for having me. It's been great speaking with you.
Great. I want to thank those of you that are watching. If you're watching this episode on demand, either at the LoadSmart website or on Talking Logistics, and you've got a question or a comment for Danielle, feel free to post it there. I'm sure she'll be more than happy to respond via that medium. Again, thank you for joining us, and look forward to seeing you in a future episode of Talking Logistics. Have a great day.